Śrīrājovāca Ko nāma sapuman brahman Kasya kim virya eva cha Asmad guham gata shishye Kim tejo yavanardana Sri Rajo vacha Ko namasapuman brahman Kasya kim virya eva cha Asmad guham gata shishye Kim tejo yavanardanaha Sri Rajo vacha Ko namasapuman brahman Kasya kim virya eva cha Asmad guham gata shishye Kim tejo yavanardanaha Sri Raja Uvacha. The king said, Kaha, who, Nama, in particular, Saha, that, Puman, person, Brahman, O Brahman, Kasya, of which, Kim, having what, Viryaha, powers, Eva cha, as also, Kasmat, why, Guham, in the cave, Gataha, having gone, Shishye, lay down to sleep. Kim, whose Tejaha, semen, Yavana, of the Yavana, Ardana, the destroyer. King Parikshit said, Who was that person, O Brahman? To which family did he belong, and what were his powers? Why did that destroyer of the barbarian lie down to sleep in the cave? And whose son was he? Shukadev Goswami said, Muchakunda was the name of this great personality, who was the born of the Ikshvaku dynasty as the son of Mandata. He was devoted to Brahminical culture and always true to his vow in battle. Begged by Indra and the other demigods to help protect them when they were terrorized by the demons, Muchakunda defended them for a long time. When the demigods obtained Kartikeya as their general, they told Muchakunda, O king, you may now give up your troublesome duty of guarding us. Abandoning an unopposed kingdom in the world of men, O valiant one. You neglected all your personal desires while engaged in protecting us. The children, queens, relatives, ministers, advisors, and subjects who were your contemporaries are no longer alive. They have all been swept away by time. Inexhaustible time. Stronger than the strong is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Like a herdsman moving his animals along, he moves mortal creatures as his pastime. Purport. The universe is created to gradually rectify the contaminated souls trying to exploit material nature. The Lord moves the conditioned souls along according to their karma through the various stages of spiritual rectification. Thus, the Lord is like a herdsman. The word Pashupala literally means protector of animals, who moves the creatures under his protections to various pastures and watering spots in order to protect them and sustain them. A further analogy is that of a doctor who moves the patient under his care to various areas of a hospital for diverse kinds of examination and treatment. Similarly, the Lord brings us through the network of material existence in a gradual cleansing process so that we can enjoy our eternal life of bliss and knowledge as his enlightened associates. Thus, all of Muchakunda's relatives, friends, and co-workers had long ago been swept away by the force of time, which, of course, is Krishna himself. Translation. Inexhaustible time, stronger than the strong, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Like a herdsman moving his animals along, he moves mortal creatures as his pastime. Srila Shukadeva Goswami has just explained the most fascinating way in which the terrible Yavana, enemy of Krishna, Kalivana, was slain when searching for Krishna in a dark cave. He saw a form laying on the ground in deep sleep. Taking this personality to be Krishna, and very angered and insulted that he would so casually sleep before Kalyavana, who had just challenged him to battle, Kalyavana, with great force, kicked this personality, who then awoke, looked this direction and that direction, and upon seeing Kalyavana, by his mere glance, he burned the Yavana to ashes. Maharaj Parikshit is asking, who is this person who is sleeping in the cave? Who was his father? Why was he there? Can you explain? And Srila Shukadeva Goswami is herein describing that this was a great Kshatriya born of the Ikshvaku dynasty. His name was Muchakunda. His father was the great king Mandhata. And he was a very powerful and noble king himself. In fact, he had such a beautiful and wonderful kingdom that it was unrivaled. It was completely peaceful. He had queen, he had children. He had so much to live a life in glory and peace. But the demigods, who are the servants of Lord Hari, they were at that time being severely harassed by the demons. So they called upon Muchakunda, can you help us? Can you protect us? Muchakunda, in order to serve the Lord's devotees and assist them in their service to the Lord. Because we should know that the demigods, although sometimes they may be karma mishra bhaktas or jnana mishra bhaktas, oftentimes they are devotees with mixed desires. Nevertheless, overall, they are performing their particular duties in the service of Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna has created the entire universe through his various expansions. And then after creating the universe, from Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is born Atmabhu Brahma. From Brahma, the Lord creates the various devatas, many millions of devatas, and each one is assigned a particular department within universal affairs to protect and conduct in the service of the Lord. And what type of a person becomes a demigod? It is someone who has tremendously pious karma, tremendously endowed in the mode of goodness, and who is a very, very great devotee of Lord Vishnu, but at the same time has some propensity to enjoy material pleasures and lord it over material nature. Generally, such persons are appointed in their next birth the assignment of taking care of massive affairs within the universe. So these demigods, when they saw that they were being terrorized by rakshasas, asuras, they approached the supreme king of his kingdom, Muchukunda, and asked, "Can you help us?" So noble and great of a devotee was this man that in order to serve the Lord's devotees, he left his kingdom. He left his wife, his children, his palace. He left all the comforts. You know, there is no more comfortable situation than being in a king in an unrivaled kingdom. And he fought, risking his very life, working so treacherously hard just to help the Lord's devotees. Not just for a short time, but as long as it was required. He continued on. And because he was in the heavenly worlds protecting the demigods, the time reference of the heavenly worlds is of a completely different dimension than on this earthly planet. So while he was fighting and fighting and fighting against these terrible demons on the earth plane, time was passing. By the waves of time in this material ocean, everyone is being washed away. And his wife, and his children, and all of his relatives, and everything, gradually, they all died. And Muchukunda just continued on with his service. And after some time, Kartikeya, who was born of Lord Shiva, he was given the post of the commander-in-chief of all the demigods. It's a beautiful story how he was born. So the demigods, they said to Muchukunda, "Now, you are so great. You have done all this for us. You really have nothing left. Everything you once had is gone. But we will give you any benediction you like." Muchukunda hadn't slept in thousands of years. You know, last night the program went a little late, and some of you faithful Vaishnavas got up for Mangal Arti, and now you are falling asleep in class. You're having so much difficulty because little less sleep. And many of you are thinking, "We hope that this Radhanath does not speak as long as he usually does, because were longing to go to sleep and have some rest. So you can sympathize with Mochakunda, who was for thousands of years without any sleep, fighting, fighting, fighting. And finally, when he was given a benediction, he said, "Please, let me go to sleep. Let me take rest for a long time." Some of you devotees, you know, when finally you get to rest, you close the lights and you lock the door and you unplug the phone in your room so that no one will disturb you. Well, Mochakunda wanted to be undisturbed. "Whoever tries to wake me, give me the power to burn them to ashes by my glance." Arrivo. So he was given this benediction. Surely it wasn't for his own sense gratification, but because he wanted to be properly rested for whatever seva was coming next. Because if it was for his own sense gratification, Krishna would not have personally woke him up by his own causeless mercy. And Krishna himself, as we will read in the future pages of the Bhagavatam, gives Mochakunda such wonderful benedictions. And what is the supremest benediction? That Mochakunda was allowed to have the personal darshan of Lord Sri Krishna. And he was given the opportunity to completely surrender to his lotus feet. So we find here in this beautiful narration of Mochakunda how such a great Grihastha king was so dedicated, so duty-bound to serve the Lord and his devotees to such an extent. Because he knew that if I'm serving the devotees of the Lord, then everyone will get the best benefits. As we were explaining last night, whatever devotional service we perform, the credits of that bhakti is shared by all those who are near and dear to us. Automatically, without our even asking. In the story of Dhruva Maharaj, we find how he was so indebted to his beloved mother, who very innocently, in a condition of complete lamentation, she said to Dhruva, "You want to see the Supreme Lord? I have been told that if you go to the forest, there are many great saints and sages there, and that is where they find the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So he went to the forest. And there Dhruva Maharaj met his Gurudev Narada, Rishi, and he was initiated in chanting the Maha Mantra of the age of Satyayuga, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he attained the perfection of life. But many, many years later he became king, and he ruled the citizens for a long, long time. And when it was time for him to leave his body, when it was time for him to go back home, back to Godhead, the servants of Vishnu came on a beautiful flower airplane, a celestial spaceship. You cannot go back to Godhead by flying Jordanian Airlines. Not even Swiss Air or Lufthansa. Or Singapore Airlines. These are mundane, terrible machines that could crash and kill you at any moment, that are running on fuel and polluting the earth with their exhaust fumes. And they can take you, at the most, from one part of this material existence, this planet, this little tiny planet, to another. But these are celestial planes, which the fuel is mantras. As the devotees of Vishnu are singing mantras, the plane can fly. And the plane is very comfortable and very fast. No safety belts required. No vomit bags in the seat in front of you. No flotation cushions in case you fall in the ocean. No exit doors. But just wonderful, fragrant flowers all around. And you just can go faster than the speed of mind to any planet, through all the planets. Bhu-bhuvarbha. You go through all from above Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, Satyaloka. Then you pierce through the material covering, the Viraja, and you enter into the Brahma Jyoti. You pierce through the Brahma Jyoti into the Paravyoma, and there are the Vaikuntha planets. And according to the particular deity of Krishna that you worship, you are brought right to that particular Vaikuntha planet. Whether it be Vamanadev, Narasimhadev, Ramchandra, Narayan. And if you are a devotee of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna or Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you go to Goloka Vrindavan. And you land very nicely. You simply enter into your eternal lila with Radha and Krishna. So anyways, Dhruva Maharaj was being brought and they said, please, it is boarding time. And Dhruva Maharaj replied, but my mother, how can I leave without my mother? And they pointed to the sky and you said, look there. He saw way up above, before him even, his mother was on another spaceship going to Vaikuntha. So through this story we can understand, without our even asking, the Lord will deliver, He will liberate, He will purify all those who are near and dear to us if we simply surrender to Him. So Mutrakunda had this faith. In this way we can understand that the greatest gift that we can offer to anyone we love is by giving them Krishna consciousness and becoming pure devotees ourselves in our own lives. And there is a wonderful example, the life of Jiva Goswami. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. His father was a very, very great and pure devotee of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, as was his two uncles. His eldest, there were three brothers. The eldest was Sanatan Goswami. The middle brother was Rupa Goswami. And the youngest brother was Ballabha. Jiva Goswami was the son of Ballabha. They were also very, very powerful, wealthy ministers who had the most important imaginable responsibilities in the kingdom. In fact, they ran the whole kingdom of Bengal, which was ruled by the Mughal conqueror, the Nawab Hussein Shah. But he would not make a single decision without consulting Rup, Sanatan, and Ballabha. He had complete trust in them because they were so learned and they were so pure in heart. And because of this, and they were such loving devotees of the Lord, everyone completely trusted them. And the Nawab Hussein Shah knew that as long as he had Rupa and Sanatan and Ballabha as his ministers, all the kingdom of all Hindus would follow him gratefully, because they could not refuse from following these great souls. So actually he forced them to accept the position of his servants. But they were always longing to be free from serving this demoniac king and becoming completely dedicated devotees of Lord Krishna. Of course, they were completely dedicated, but they wanted to directly engage in devotional service. So they were writing regularly to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Actually, they were incarnations of the topmost maidservants of Sri Radharani from Goloka Vrindavan. So they could understand that Krishna and Sri Radharani had appeared in the divine incarnation of Gauranga. So they would write so many letters to him. Please, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, tell us, what should we do? We want to become full-time devotees, but we have so many terrible responsibilities for this king. And they were getting no reply to their letters. They wrote again and again and again. And finally they received a reply from Lord Gauranga, which essentially said, very short note, that if a wife is attached to another man than her husband, she will serve her husband very carefully so he does not suspect. So you should continue your duties, but always be thinking of Krishna. Always be thinking of your real lover. And in his time, he will rescue you. So they went on with their service, longing for that moment. And then Lord Gauranga, he especially made a trip to Ramakeli, which was the kingdom of the Nawab Husain Shah. He was on his way to Vrindavan, but if you see a map of Bengal, it's actually quite out of the way from Vrindavan. He especially went there just to deliver Rup Sanatan and Vallabha. So because they did not want to create suspicion in the minds of the king, who was a Muslim, who was not at all respectful to the Hindu culture, in the middle of the night, they secretly went to the place where Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was residing. And while they were there, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated them. He gave them the names Rup and Sanatan and Vallabha. And also, he told them that they should leave their kingdoms and come to Vrindavan. He showed his special mercy. And Rup and Sanatan and Vallabha, how they prayed to the Lord, how they humbled themselves at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. But meanwhile, it is explained that there was a little boy, tiny little boy, the son of Anupam Vallabha, who followed behind his father and uncles and was secretly watching and listening to the whole exchange between Lord Chaitanya and them. And simply upon seeing the beauty of Lord Gauranga and hearing his munificent words, his entire life became dedicated to serving his lotus feet. Just a few moments of seeing the Lord, his whole life was transformed into pure devotional service. You see, children will always watch what their parents do. If they see their parents humbling themselves before the Supreme Lord and the great Vaishnavas, it has a profound effect in the heart of little children. Of course, in the Jiva Goswami's example, this is a very super excellent manifestation of this principle. So he became completely detached from any material enjoyments. While other children would like to play, he didn't care to play. His play was this. He would construct with his own hands beautiful little deities of Krishna and Balaram. Why Krishna and Balaram? Because you see, when he was in Ramakeli and he saw Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda was with him. He had the beautiful darshan of Gauranitai. And as we were singing last night, Brajendra Nandana Jay Shachi Shuta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nitai. After he had their beautiful darshan in Ramakeli, he had a beautiful dream where he saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda appear before him. So he naturally became very attracted to the worship of Balaram and Krishna. So these little deities, he would spend his whole day just caring for the deities. He would bow down before them, tears flowing from his eyes in ecstatic love. He would collect various flowers and fruits and offer it with pure love to Krishna and Balaram. And then he would gather his friends together and he would serve them prasad. And he would love to clap his hands and to dance before the deities and to chant the holy names before the deities and to dress them and to bathe them and to decorate them with sandalwood and whatever other ornaments he had. His life was completely immersed in the service of Krishna and Balaram. He would never part from them for a moment. Even when he would go to sleep at night, he would embrace them and sleep with his two lords upon his chest and his arms. One night, he had a wonderful dream. In this dream, his worshipable deities, Krishna and Balaram, appeared before him. And he began to worship them and offer them his love. And right before his eyes, Lord Sri Krishna transformed into the beautiful form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga! 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 And Lord Balaram so graciously transformed into the beautiful form of Nityananda! 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 Nithai! Rio! And little Jiva, he began to weep in ecstatic love and he fell at their lotus feet. And Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu placed their lotus feet upon little Jiva's head. And then they disappeared. And when they disappeared, he was cast into the ocean of separation. And from that time, he was practically day and night in lamentation, weeping and weeping and weeping. And when he had heard the news that his father, Balaba, also known as Anupam, his father left his government services and went to Vrindavan with Rupa Goswami. But as Rupa Goswami and Balaba were coming to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Gauranga, Balaba left this world to return to the spiritual world. And hearing that his father had died, Jiva Goswami was utterly disinterested in anything of this world. He only had one desire: let me go to Vrindavan and worship Radha and Krishna with my uncles Rupa and Sanatan. So he was longing and he was praying in this way. And when people would see his ecstatic love, they were literally struck with wonder. How this child? He had all the symptoms of a Mahapurusha. Beautiful, elongated, lotus eyes. A wonderful complexion. Arms that went beyond his knees. High forehead and broad chest. And he was just an embodiment of love. And yet he was always bitterly crying in lamentation, separation from Gaur Nitai. So, little Jiva, it is explained that soon his mother, she also left this world. So Jiva Goswami decided to go to Navadvip Dham, because he had heard the news that although Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu had already left this world, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was living in the house of Srivas Thakur at Navadvip. So when he entered into Navadvip, constantly remembering the beautiful glories of Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityanand, he saw the wonderful river Ganges. He saw the beautiful spiritual atmosphere of Mayapur. And he inquired, "Where is Nityananda Prabhu?" Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu told Srivas that very soon Jiva will come. He is the most blessed nephew of Rupa and Sanatana. And a few moments later, Jiva appeared at the house of Srivas Pandit, and he was brought in to see Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda placed his lotus feet upon the head of little Jiva, who at that time was less than 20 years old. And Nityananda Prabhu decided, for the pleasure of Jiva Goswami, to join him and show him the parikram of Navadvip Dham. So after introducing him to Srivas and all the other associates who were still remaining, they went to the Yogapit, the house of Jagannath Mishra, and there Sachi Devi and Vishnu Priya, they were weeping and crying in ecstatic separation from Lord Gauranga. But upon seeing little Jiva, they became so ecstatic in love, so joyful. And Bamsi Vadana, you remember that murti of Lord Gauranga that we saw in Koladweep, that Vishnu Priya worshipped after Mahaprabhu took sannyas? Do you remember? We inquired from authoritative sources in the nearby Koladweep area of how that deity came about. And what happened is this. Before Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu took sannyas, one close associate of his named Bamsi Vadana, he asked him that you please kindly take care of my mother and my consort, Vishnu Priya. So Bamsi Vadana became their servant. And with his own hands, he personally carved this murti of Lord Gauranga. And it was Bamsi Vadana that presented this murti to Vishnu Priya, and she worshipped throughout her life. And according to reliable sources, at the bottom of the foot, one of the lotus feet of that murti, is still carved the name Bamsi Vadana. So Nityananda Prabhu and Jiva Goswami, they met with Bamsi Vadana, Sachi Devi, and Vishnu Priya, who gave him wonderful prasad. And so many wonderful events took place as he was roaming through all the nine islands of Navadvip. In fact, the Navadvip Parikram that we performed was the same parikram, essentially, as Nityanand Prabhu performed with Jiva Goswami. Of course, we also went some places outside of Navadvip, Gormandala Bhumi, like Katwa, Ambika Kalna, Jajigram, Santipur. But the area within Navadvip, it was Nityananda Prabhu that performed the first parikram. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, through his spiritual vision, explained the beautiful discussions between Jiva Goswami and the beautiful, beautiful revelations that they achieved while going through the Navadvip parikram. In many places, they were so enraptured in ecstatic love that Lord Chaitanya and Advaitacharya and Gadadhar and all these great personalities who had already left this world, they appeared again and had tumultuous, wonderful sankirtan for the pleasure of Jiva Goswami. Nityananda Prabhu revealed all of this to him. And then Nityananda Prabhu told him that now you should go to Vrindavan, because Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu has specially made Vrindavan the place for your family members. But he told him, on the way to Vrindavan, you should stop in Varanasi, Benares. And there you should study Sanskrit from Madhusudan Vachaspati, who is a very great and learned disciple of Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Jiva Goswami, with great love and affection, he surrendered to the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, and surrendering to his instructions, he departed from Navadvip Dham to Varanasi. And there in Varanasi, for some years, he very, very carefully studied in the academy of Madhusudan Vachaspati, and he became the most learned student in all of Banaras. He began to write books, and he became very, very famous, well-known throughout all of India as being a great devotee and a great scholar of the Vedas. And then he proceeded to Vrindavan. And it is described that when he came to Vrindavan, all the great Vaishnav Acharyas came to greet him. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. He was the last of the six Goswamis to arrive in Vrindavan. Also Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarabha Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit. They were all there to greet him. Swami approached Sri Sanatan Goswami, his eldest uncle, and begged him, kindly give me initiation, diksha. Sanatan Goswami told him that you should take diksha from Rupa Goswami. So he approached Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami said that, you know, this Vaishnav diksha in Gaudiya Sampradaya is not such a cheap thing. You have to prove yourself through humble, menial service. So Rupa Goswami engaged Jiva Goswami in very, very menial services. Although he was such a great scholar, and he had already become so famous, although he was only hardly 20 years old, he would wash the vessels. He would pick flowers. He would clean the room. He would prepare palm leaves so that Rupa Goswami could do his writings. He would arrange the articles for the puja of Rupa Goswami. He would massage Rupa Goswami's feet and his legs. Just such humble, simple, menial services. And by doing this, he showed Rupa Goswami that really he was serious about being a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. And after some time, Rupa Goswami was pleased with him and he gave him initiation. And they lived together, the Goswamis, for many years in Vrindavan. How did they live? It is explained that they would sleep under different trees every night. Then they would only wear the discarded cloth which was put in the rubbish bins by the Vrijbasis. They would beg. Jiva Goswami was a prince. He was living in royal opulence, but he left it all. And they would just beg. And they would get some dry roti, sometimes some fried chickpeas, and they would subsist on that only. Sometimes little milk. But they were always completely engrossed, immersed in the loving ecstasies of the gopis' feelings for Krishna. And they would wander throughout Vrindavan. He Radhe Brajadeva Ke Chalalite Hananda Shuno Kutaha. Always crying out, where is Radharani? Where is Krishna? Are you on the banks of the Jamuna? Are you under the Bamsivat tree? This was their mood. They were never so proud to say, I know Krishna. Here in India, you preach to people, and the first thing they will say is, yes, I know Krishna. Yes, I see Krishna every night in my dreams. Yes, yes, Krishna talks to me. But the greatest saints, the most highly purified Vaishnavas in the most renounced order of life, they are never saying, I know Krishna, I see Krishna. They are always crying, where are you, Radharani? Where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Lalita Vishaka? Will you kindly engage me in your loving service? This is the mood of the true Vaishnavas. Krishna consciousness is not so cheap. But of course, in Kali Yuga, even the most priceless things are taken very cheaply. But they gave real dignity to the priceless value of Krishna consciousness. And they extracted from all the great Vedic literatures the essence, which is pure, unalloyed, unmotivated, loving service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And of all the Goswamis, Jiva Goswami was the most celebrated writer. He wrote so many books. Srila Prabhupada explained that the Vaishnava philosophers are the greatest philosophers in the world. And of all philosophers, Jiva Goswami is by far the greatest philosopher that ever lived. Through logic, through argument, and through complete scriptural backing, he has established the most high and sublime points which lead one to pure devotion to the Lord. Through the Satsandarbha, the greatest philosophical works, where everything is so scrutinizingly explained with such authority. Srila Rupa Goswami was personally worshipping beautiful small deities of Radha Damodar. Some people say that he carved those deities out of stone with his own hands. Anyways, out of love for his dear disciple, Rupa Goswami gave the murtis of Radha Damodar to Jiva Goswami. Jai Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara Radhe, Jiva Goswami Prandanahe. They became his life and soul. There are so many beautiful stories of Jiva Goswami. One time, a scholar of the name Rup Narayan, he came to Brajbhumi. And he was such a proud rascal that he was declaring himself to be the greatest philosopher and greatest scholar in all the world. And he was going to all places challenging other scholars to debate
and he would defeat them and had them sign a certificate that I have been defeated by Rupa Narayan. So he came to Vrindavan and he heard that Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were the greatest scholars there. So he said, I challenge you to debate. And Rupa and Sanatan, they cared nothing for the prestige of this mundane world. They said to him, we are just very simple. People say we're great. It's all an exaggeration. It will be a waste of your time to easily defeat simple fools like us. So we accept defeat before you even start. Oh yes, then you sign this paper. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. Now you go away. Thank you very much. But then he heard that their nephew, Jiva Goswami, was a great upcoming scholar. So I better annihilate him before he gets older. So he went to Jiva Goswami, I challenge you to debate. I've already defeated your two uncles. What? Nonsense? You can't defeat my uncles. Look, I have their name, signature. I have been defeated by Rupa Narayan. Jiva Goswami understood that his uncles, they are so humble, but he's going to discredit the name of my uncles. Yes, I will accept your defeat. I am their disciples. So for 7 days they sat in the bank of the Jamuna, and on the last day, Rupa Narayan, his ego was smashed to pieces as he met defeat at the hands of Jiva Goswami. Riva! And Jiva Goswami was very happy that he rescued the good name of Rupa and Sanatan from irrepute by this rascal man. Understand that Jiva Goswami in no way did this for himself, but just to protect the dignity of his gurus. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the author of the verse, Srinarapi Sunichena Turorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirataniya Sadahari. When Ramchandrapuri or anyone would criticize him directly, he would take a humble position and say, yes, you are correct. But when anyone insulted one of his devotees, as in the incidents of Nityananda Prabhu, when he was struck on the head by Jagai and Madhai, he became like fire, ready to destroy them. Srila Prabhupada explains that for oneself, one should be humble like a blade of grass. But it is not humility to stand by while your guru or other Vaishnavas are being disgraced. In that instant, humility means to fight like fire, to protect them. So Jiva Goswami was actually exhibiting the highest principles of humility. So he went to Rupa Goswami, and he said that I'm happy to tell you that Rupa Narayan was defeated by me. And Rupa Goswami, in order to test Jiva, and more than that, to show the world the glorious qualities of Jiva, he became very angry. He said, you, Jiva, you are nonsense. You are a Vaishnav. You are supposed to be a devotee of the Lord. Why you wasted your precious time, which is meant for serving Radha and Krishna, to debate with this mundane scholar? And why you are so attached to being victorious over him? This means you have some pride. And no one with even a grain of pride can live in Vrindavan Dham properly. Vrindavan Dham is a place you can only live if you are humble like the grass. Therefore, you can no longer live here. You get out. And Jiva Goswami, although in one sense we may say he was wrongly accused, in another sense, when such a great soul as Rupa Goswami speaks, it is absolute truth. above and beyond any relative truths. So Jiva Goswami humbly, from the core of his heart, accepted that, yes, I am proud. My Gurudev says I'm proud, that means I'm proud. My Gurudev said I have committed a great offense, I have committed a great offense. I have done a very bad thing. And now I'm not worthy of being at his lotus feet, nor am I worthy of being in Vrindavan. So he left Vrindavan. He went to Mathura. And there, to atone for his offenses, he began to severely fast. He lived in a cave. And he was constantly, day and night, weeping in atonement for the offenses he had committed, crying out the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Such humility. Even though, by all practical purposes, he was taking a humble position, and he was completely right and justified for what he did, from the core of his heart, he admitted that he was wrong. This is a Vaishnav. He did not try to protect himself, but he took the humblest possible position. This was his faith in his guru's words. Anyways, as he was transcendentally suffering in Mathura, Sanatana Goswami was feeling great compassion for him. So one day he approached Rupa Goswami and he said, I think that there is a particular point in Lord Chaitanya's philosophy that you are not properly following. Now, you know how it is these days. When somebody becomes a little exalted, if you try to tell them that you're not practicing Krishna consciousness properly, usually they will say, what nonsense are you speaking? Tell me, I will defeat you. But no, Rupa Goswami was so humble. He said, oh, there's some mistake I'm making. Please explain to me, Sanatan, which principle am I not properly following? So Sanatana Goswami began to narrate the various principal cardinal rules of Mahaprabhu's teachings, and then he came to the principle of Jiva Doi. Jiva Doi means compassion to all living entities. But it also means compassion to Jiva. So when he said this, Rupa Goswami could understand that Sanatana is telling me I should forgive Jiva. He said, you bring him here. And Jiva Goswami came to Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami embraced him and blessed him and again welcomed him into his association. This is a completely transcendental loving pastimes. Actually, Rupa Goswami did this only to glorify the highest principles of Jiva Goswami's humility and devotion. Another time, Balabhacharya, great acharya and also an intimate associate of Lord Gauranga, he came. He was very senior to Rupa and Sanatana in age. And Rupa Goswami was writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What are you writing, Rupa? Can I see? And he said, there's one thing that I see here that is not exactly correct. So Rupa Goswami said, oh, then you kindly take my whole manuscript and you edit it and correct it in any way you like. So he took it. And then he went to the Jamuna, and Jiva Goswami was sitting on bank of Jamuna. And he had told Jiva, Jiva bowed down to Balabhacharya. He said that I am correcting your uncle's, your Gurudev's books. So what corrections? Whatever my Gurudev says is perfect. And Balabhacharya said, no, you see this? This point here, I already explained it to Rupa that it's not correct. Not that it's not correct, but there's a better way of explaining it. And he has admitted, yes, it is correct. And Jiva Goswami, he said, he explained what Rupa Goswami really meant. And Balabhacharya said, yes, I'm sorry. This is the highest understanding. Even I could not comprehend. Certainly, Rupa Goswami is perfect. So he went back to Rupa Goswami and said, here is your Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. After meeting Jiva Goswami, such a brilliant scholar and such a brilliant devotee he is, what to speak of you, his guru? How could I possibly try to correct anything you have written? Rupa Goswami called Jiva. What nonsense. Balabhacharya is like a father to us. He's doing seva. Why you corrected him like this? Jiva Goswami said, I could not tolerate that he was misunderstanding the perfection of your writings. He said, again you have become proud. You get out of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is only for humble devotees. So then he went to Nandaghat. And he lived in a vacated hole that crocodiles would live in. Underground, living in a hole, crocodile hole. And he was just weeping, trying to atone for his offense of pride, loudly calling out the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And for food, people would just bring some wheat flour and put it in front of the hole. And he would mix that with Jamuna water, and every few days he would just take little of that. And he became terribly, terribly sick. Never seeing the light of the day. No proper nutrition. But he would always be chanting the holy names. All right, go on. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Om. One day, Sanatan Goswamiji, he was making his rounds, traveling throughout Brajbhumi. Sanatan Goswami was very special. Everyone loved him. All the Brijvasis, he was so kind and affectionate to. He knew them all intimately and personally. He would go to their homes. He would ask, how is your wife? How is your children? How is your crops growing this year? He would discuss all these things because he knew anything you discuss with Brijvasis is transcendental. So in this way, everyone loved him so dearly. He was considered the father of all the Brijvasis. Sanatan Goswami. So he came to one village near Nandaghat, and some of the villagers said, Sanatan Goswami, we thought that you were a great austere person, but the Babaji that's living in our village, my God, is he ever austere? He's living in a crocodile hole. He never comes out. We just hear him constantly weeping and crying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. He was thinking, this must be Jiva Goswami. Show me where this sadhu is. So they took him and he said, Jiva, come out. Jiva said, I can't move, I can't walk. So Sanatana Goswami personally crawled into the crocodile hole and carried him out and brought him back to Vrindavan. And then Sanatana approached Rupa Goswami. You know the rules of Lord Chaitanya? Yes, yes. You know this rule, Jivadoi? Yes, yes. Should be Jiva Doi, compassionate to Jiva. He said, yes, bring him in. Again, he embraced him, and Rupa Goswami personally nursed him back to health just to glorify his transcendental qualities of this great devotee.
So, after Rupa and Sanatan left this world, it is explained that the great emperor, Akbar, he had heard the glories of Jiva Goswami. And there are stories that he even had the audience of Jiva Goswami. And he became so completely moved by the devotion of this personality that Akbar arranged many of his secretaries and many of his generals to help Jiva Goswami to excavate Vrindavan Dham. In fact, the Radha Govinda temple and other beautiful temples, it was Maharaj Akbar and his associates that helped construct so many beautiful temples, including the Radha Damodar temple. Anyways, after Rupa and Sanatan left this world, Jiva Goswami was accepted by all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as the leading acharya, as the commander-in-chief of all Vaishnavism. But Jiva Goswami himself always humbled himself before Janave Devi, the eternal consort of Lord Nityananda. And in this way, in the mood of complete humility, Jiva Goswami, he trained such great souls as Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasa Acharya, Shyamananda, and he sent them with the Gaudiya Vaishnav literatures to Bengal on the order of Janavi Devi, and they became great, great preachers, enlightening millions upon millions of people's lives, writing beautiful books, beautiful songs. So Jiva Goswami, he also compiled the first library of Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, all the books of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Prabodhananda Saraswati, the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He took all of these books and put them in proper library, and in this way he established, and he extracted the essence of all those books and wrote so many of his own books. And in this way, it was actually Jiva Goswami that really established the dignity of the literary authority of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And all the teachings that we are hearing today and throughout our lives are by the mercy of these great souls, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and those who are following in their footsteps. So on this holy day of the disappearance of Srila Jiva Goswami, we should, with a very grateful and humble heart, bow at his lotus feet and bow at the feet of the servants of the servants of such a great soul. We should pray for his mercy. And we should reconfirm our own vows to dedicate our lives in the great mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he has so mercifully established for all of us to follow throughout our lives. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.